Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at JustAskVi. That's VI.com.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday afternoon. We hope wherever you are comfortable, you are safe, and you are enjoying this Saturday. So thank you all so much for tuning in with us today. This is the show, Your Real Estate Today. If you're a new listener, here's what you're going to hear today. You're going to hear ways to take care of, things to know, ways to borrow, and so much more about your biggest investment, and that is your home or your investment property. And we're excited to share that. The show, Your Real Estate Today, has been around for more fingers than I have on both hands, and it talks a lot about real estate and everything having to do with it. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. I own the Jamison family of companies. That's real estate, property management, and property investment. I have as a guest today also Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding, who's going to give our mortgage update today. Hello, Sandy. Sandy.
Hello.
I'm also coming up in the show is the one, the only famous Preston Sandlin with Home Inspection Carolina. If you haven't heard about Preston, you just haven't heard. So he's going to be coming up in segment 2, 3, and 4. So he's got a lot to share today, anywhere from fall maintenance tips to many other things about your home and ways not just to take care of it, but we're also going to talk some real estate about what's going on out there, talk about permits. So a lot to talk about. So yay. Thanks to TJ for being in the studio with me. I am his least famous talk show host. So, you know, it's always good to do a little charity work. So it's always good to have TJ in here, you know, to kind of help me out. So he says I'm a tax write-off. That's always a good thing. All right. So what did I learn this week? Okay. Preston and Sandy and those out there, get ready to listen to this. Okay. Here's what I read this week. I got a couple of crazies. Okay. Here we go. In the 4 weeks ending August 2nd, prices in rural areas, rural, like FARM farm out there, acreage, have increased over 11%. And it's increased 9.2% in the suburbs. In urban areas, urban, downtown, uptown, around town, it only showed a 6.7% increase. Trends are heading out of town. Where have you heard that before? Note to self, right here. Next, this one kind of got me in the political environment we're in right now. Personal income reliance on the government has really changed. If you look at total income, 31% of the total income came from the government in the month of April. In the month of May, it was in the mid-20% range, came from the government. As a result of the coronavirus, it is going down. But folks, that's staggering. That's staggering.
For
we
sure.
need to get back to work safely. Right? A little bit of local stats, real estate-wise. And the real estate market's doing great. Week ending August 15th, new listings increased 3.6% year over year to 1,261. Pending sales increased 29.4% year over year to 1,293. What is that, by the way, when you got more pending sales than you got houses going on the market, what happens? And inventory went down 48% year over year to 5,611. People, if you want to sell, this is just crazy. Median price, sales price increased 7.5% to year over year to 285,000. List to close, meaning the listing to closing price difference, tightened by 2.3%. Percent of original list price increased 0.9% to 98.1%. So if you put your house on the market for $100,000, it sold for $98,100 on average. Okay? And month supply decreased again to 1.4 months. All right, that's good. Good news for sellers. Okay? So, 76% of homeowners surveyed said they did some form of upgrades to their home during the coronavirus. So, Sandy, you want to guess what upgrade I did to my house?
Kitchen?
What?
Bath?
I bought a foosball table.
That is an upgrade.
That is an upgrade, let me tell you. So, enjoyed that. All right. Okay, so I got a little trivia for you out there. TJ, you can even participate in this one. Do you all know what the difference is between an arbor, a pergola, a gazebo, and a pavilion? Do you know the difference between an arbor and a pergola? Well, let me tell you. An arbor is designed with sides formed from lattice and often has an arch drop and is often used to add shades or decor along a walkway or path or a designated entry point into a garden. It's typically seen in wedding venues where lattice and framework is perfect for decorating with climbing plants and vines. That is so flowery. All right. An arbor or a pergola is a much larger structure, and it tends to be an outdoor shade structure that includes lattice-style roof that is supported by posts and is used to cover a defined large area, including patios or outdoor seating areas. All right, what about a gazebo and a pavilion? A gazebo is an outdoor shade structure with a solid roof and partially open sides. And the most telling feature is the shape. It's typically shaped like an octagon or an oval. I've never seen an oval one, but an octagon I've seen a lot of. All right. Whereas a pavilion, unlike a gazebo, is roofed, a structure completely open on the sides, no built-in floor, and the roof is typically supported by posts. Sound familiar? And it is typically a rectangle, not an octagon or an oval. So there you go. Isn't that just fascinating? Yay.
That's
all right,
it.
Sandy.
I had no idea.
In the last couple of minutes, let's talk mortgage. What's up?
Okay, so last week we talked about FHFA and Mark Calabria adding 0.5% tax or adverse market fee, whatever you want to call it, on all refinances. So that increased our rates up to maybe 0.25% for those companies that passed it along. Our company did not pass that along. So this week they've decided that they will not do that now, but they want to do it in December, which I guess they thought that would make us all happy. But and maybe that was a trick because some people were happy. However, I think that they're just kicking that can down the road and to try to get us used to that tax. I think we still need to fight it because I think they're just trying to make money, and I don't think it's a good time to do it with people trying to reduce their monthly payments and get in bed and take cash out and pay off their debts and stuff. It's just not a good time for it. So that's the news for this week. Rates are pretty steady, but things are a little shaky in the market because now this hasn't happened yet. Tomorrow, which will be Thursday, Jerome Powell is going to be speaking on behalf of the Fed. And if they indicate that they're going to set their inflation target from 2 to 2.5, that will probably affect rates and they'll probably go up a little bit. Yeah. Now, if they don't, they'll probably come, you know, they'll be good or they'll come down because they may have already factored that some into the market. So a little shaky now. You might want to think about locking if you're floating. But refis are back to normal rates, so that's nice.
Yes, that's wonderful. So if you're thinking about a mortgage, you need to give Sandy a call. How do they reach you, Sandy?
They can call me on my mobile, 704-577-0144.
Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding, thanks for the update. And we look forward to chatting with you as we do every week to get our mortgage update and much more.
Thanks,
Sandy. This is the show, Your Real Estate Today. Coming up, Preston Sandlin with Home Inspection Carolina and myself for more information about your home. Stay with us. The show, Your Real Estate Today, here on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Hello, friends. Welcome. We're back to show, Your Real Estate Today. So glad that you're with us on this Saturday. Thanks for spending your time with us. We hope that we provide you some value today and all the things that we talk about. The show, Your Real Estate Today, if you're just popping on Saturday afternoon, is about real estate, about your home, whether it's an investment or your primary home. We want to bring you value there. I'm Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison family of companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments. I'm here with Preston Sandlin, owner of Home Inspection Carolina. You know, you can certainly listen to us live. You can jump on the WBT website under the Shows tab and download the podcasts. You can go to radio.com and listen to us there, or you can go to the Jamison Realty YouTube channel, and you'll be able to see us on recorded Zoom. Where we can, you can see how we make funny expressions and jump up and down and holler. So, anyway, you can enjoy us any way you like. All right. So, Preston, thanks for being with me, buddy. How you been?
I'm good, brother. How are you doing? I hear the real estate business is crazy. Not enough supply.
We are busy and we need listings. Period. I mean, we need houses to sell. We got tons of buyers waiting.
I hear it's multiple offers all over the place.
It is truly. It is truly. And that's a very thankful thing. Depends, of course, in what price point you're in. But, you know, it is still certainly a positive thing to see real estate holding up a lot of the other negative news that's out there. So it's an exciting time for sure. All right. Absolutely. So, Preston, you sent me kind of some thoughts for today's show. And one of them I was really intrigued by. And so if you would explain why you were so interested in discussing permits.
Yeah. Well,
building permits, obviously.
Yeah. Well, building permits, when do you need them? And what's the problem if you have something that doesn't have a permit? When we do an inspection, you know, sometimes we see a basement that's been finished or they've added a room or something. And you always want to make sure, Paul, that they pulled a building permit and closed it out. And the reason is, there's a couple of reasons, actually. First of all, for the safety, to make sure that everything was done properly. And also that if in the event of a fire or something like that, the insurance may deny your coverage if you have an unpermitted addition or some unpermitted work or something like that. Mm. And then there's also another problem too. Let's say you buy a house, Paul, that, you know, had an unfinished basement, somebody finished it out, but then they never pulled the permits or whatever. So it's still listed with the county as unfinished basement. Well, they comes out, you finished it and it's been finished for 10 years. They could theoretically, I haven't seen it happen, but they could come back and say, well, you owe us property tax, you know, because they charge on heated square footage for the past 10 years that you haven't paid. And, I mean, that is, I haven't seen it happen, but it's plausible. I mean, they could have a legal claim to that. So you just want to make sure that when you have an addition or when you need a permit, that one's pulled. And if you know, you're looking at a house that has some sort of something that needed a permit, make sure that there was one pulled.
Yeah.
To tell you the scenarios.
Yeah. I mean, it's just before you do that, I think the other side of that too, Preston, is the fact that if there is not a permit, that is a material fact.
Yes.
Which
yes.
means you do both of these things. Number one, you say, like your example, the basement is not permitted, and you technically in the listing cannot count that as heated square footage.
Right, right.
So,
and you really hope and pray that nothing ever happens, you know, like a fire or something like that, because the insurance.
Because of insurance. And you need to talk to your insurance company about it before you make the purchase and make sure they're okay with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That brings up the questions then, Paul. When is the permit needed?
Yep.
Well, first of all, anything that's over $15,000, mm-hmm. You need to pull a permit for it. Mm-hmm. That's rule number one. And then the other rule would be it wouldn't matter the dollar amount if it affects one of the four major components of your house.
Okay.
Structure, like mm-hmm. load-bearing capacity. Mm-hmm. You know, you take out a wall, a pier, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Even if it's less than $15,000, you're going to need a permit for that.
Mm-hmm.
If you install an addition, even if it was a, you know, inexpensive addition mm-hmm. under $15,000, which I can't imagine, it would still, you know, if it affects the structure, uh-huh. then you've got to have a permit. It doesn't matter the amount of the money. And if you want, I can read straight from the county what they say.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
All right, so this is what the county says. It's just a couple of bullet points here. When you need a permit, the addition, repair, or replacement of load-bearing structures, mm-hmm. the addition or change in the design of the plumbing system, the mm-hmm. addition, replacement, or change of the design in heating or air conditioning system, the addition, replacement, or change in the design of electrical system, the addition of roofing, excluding replacement. You can replace a roof and you don't need a permit for that. Of like grade and fire resistant material. So typically, if they're just replacing something that's already there, that doesn't require a permit. Mm-hmm. But if they're changing the design, it's going to require a permit. Or if it's over $15,000, it's going to mm-hmm. require a permit.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, you know, a permit is not that expensive. Let's call it $300. Okay. Ish, depending on, you know, what you're doing, right? Excuse me. That it's a cheap thing to do to save yourself a lot of hassle. You're not really saving any money when you don't do it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And beware of the contractor who tries to encourage you not to pull a permit. There's a few of them out there.
Well, they typically don't have their GC license and they can't pull a permit.
You got it. And sometimes they'll tell you, you know, well, you don't want to, you know, you'll have to pay more taxes and stuff like that. And I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. You're going to get me into more trouble than it's worth. But
so many times these bathrooms that have been added and other things that have been added without permits just come back to bite people. You know, they come back and, you know, even if you try to get it permitted, next thing you know, you got to take the whole thing apart so they can look behind the walls, you know, and then it has to be brought up to today's code. So if you'd have pulled it back then, it would have probably been less to deal with than now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen people, you know, after they finished the basement and a couple of years later, they wanted to pull a permit retro. they made them tear out some of the drywall so that they could see the wiring and stuff like that. But can I tell them a couple of resources that I have, Paul?
Absolutely, please. We've got two minutes left. So, yeah, sure. Got plenty
of time. It's just on our website. What we did on homeinspectioncarolina.com, we have a section on building permits. And we have all this information that we're talking about. But more importantly, we have a link to each one of the counties that we service, Mecklenburg and all the surrounding counties, Raleigh and Asheville, to their building where you can check code in each one of those counties.
Oh, wow.
If you just put in the address. So I encourage everyone to go put your address in there and just see if there's any open, because you have to close permits too. And every once in a while, you'll have an open permit that you don't even realize it. It's usually not too big a deal to get that closed out, but you can go on there and click onto your, you know, we aggregated all the links to all the counties, so you can check a building permit. And also, like, if you go look at a house and you're wondering about this basement or whatever, you can put that address in and check the permit on it.
Yeah, we had one where in a sale of a basement that had been remodeled with a general contractor, permits were pulled. The agent went out and looked, and there were open permits still there.
Oh.
And it was just a county error.
Yeah.
They had everything they needed, and within 30 minutes, they closed them. Just had not been done for some reason. It was an error of sorts. So.
Yeah, I just want to get that taken care of before you close. Yeah. It's usually not a big deal.
No, especially if the initial permits have been pulled and you know, the inspections have been done. It works out really well. So what Preston and I are going to do next is when you come back, we're going to talk about some maintenance tips. You know, we were talking earlier about, what was it, a large percentage. What was my percentage? 76% of homeowners made some kind of an improvement during the COVID. So we're going to talk about some additional tips that you can do, and some of them are real easy. So we'll share those with you after the break. Preston Sandlin with Home Inspection Carolina, myself, Paul Jamison, on a happy Saturday on the Show Your Real Estate Today. So stay with us. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. We'll be right back.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back. The Show Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday. And again, as I said earlier, I hope you're safe, happy, comfortable, out spending money, and enjoying some of the restaurants out there that need desperately our support. There are many of them. Jump into your community. Do a little bit of takeout. Take the day and enjoy it. You know, I think it's important now that we do everything we can to keep some of these businesses alive. You know, we are all very blessed to be in this community. I couldn't ask for a better place to be selling real estate and making real estate investments and running a business as an employer. And I know, Preston, you feel the same way.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it here. Love it. Yeah.
You know, it was a while ago, before we jump into this subject, I was listening to TJ and Mark on the their afternoon show between 6 and 7.
Charlotte at 6.
Okay. Yeah, Charlotte at 6. And TJ is now a part of the food portion of that. And I would say that if I were to categorize him as a foodie, I would be right. He does like to eat and try different restaurants. But the particular one that I liked the most was he was talking about that little Big Burger. Is that right? This little Big Burger place, it was like by the time he got done talking, I was, you know, 6 feet from my car going, I got to go down there and have one of those burgers down there.
Where is that? Where is that place?
Where is it, TJ?
There's one off of Ray Road.
It's off of Ray Road. So my goal next week is to go over there and enjoy that place. And I'm going to try to eat out next week as much as I possibly can. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Yay. We've been doing tacos for life. If you haven't tried that place, it's excellent.
Is it good? Tacos for life? Yeah. See, TJ shaking his head going, yeah, I know it. So, yeah, you know, here I am. You know, I'm like, I like to go over to Metro Diner there in Matthews because it's like cheers for me. Oh, they know who I am with my mask on. All right. So, okay. So let's talk about some projects, Preston, that we can do. You've got some fall maintenance tips. Why don't we start with yours? Some fall maintenance tips that don't really look like they really cost much.
No. The first tip, you know, we're not in fall yet, but it's around the corner. It won't be long. You know, you want to seed your lawn and all that stuff. But one of the biggest things are that squirrels get a little nutty this time of year.
I saw what you just did there.
Walk. Okay, I'll see myself out. But they start storing nuts, and they love to store it in attics. So we had one in our attic, and you know, I love squirrels, but I do not love them in my attic. They will chew on wires, all kinds of stuff, and they'll hibernate in your attic. So you really need to go around your house, check all the eaves and soffits for any hole. If there's a little bit of a hole there, they can gnaw in and get in there. And they love to, you know, store the pretty soon they'll be looking for a place like an attic to store the acorns and stuff.
Yeah.
And you just don't want them in there. They're bad news. You had one in your old office, didn't you? It's your view office again.
My office. Yeah.
Now it's your new office.
Yeah. We had it bad. And you know, and they would go down the channels of the wall, and you know, you'd be sitting there, and all of a sudden you'd hear, you know, them chirping, and you're like, man, this is like freaky. They're inside the wall, so we had to get a company to come in and get rid of them. And you brought your Ultra because it died in there, so we couldn't figure out where it was in the wall. So Preston came with his what was that
infrared thing?
Yeah, infrared light to find out where the sucker was.
Because
he was putting off heat as he decomposed and stunk up the whole stinking office. We don't want any squirrels in there. I did have an incident with bats that came in the roof vent, and we couldn't do anything with it until a certain amount of time because they were protected.
Yep.
So finally we were able to get them out. We had to go when they had flown out and then put a tarp so that they couldn't get back in. Before we could remediate the guano.
Yeah, because it's very toxic.
You're
exactly right. Bats are protected. And if you're checking for squirrels, while you're up there, look at your eaves, because that's where the bats, they like to get in those eaves and hang upside down. And even though you usually have a screen on the inside of your attic that, you know, keeps birds and whatnot from getting in there, the bat's paw will still hang in there upside down, and when they poop, it's going down in your attic. And you're exactly right. You can't just, like, shoot them with a BB gun or something. That's illegal. You'll get in trouble. You've got to wait until they fly out and either tarp it or put chicken wire on the outside of the eaves.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it's no small feat to get done.
Kind of expensive, too.
It was over $2,000 to get them out.
Oof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've tried to sell the guano, you know, for the mascara manufacturers, which is what's in there.
Exactly. I told my wife that. I was like, you know that lipstick's the bat poop, don't you?
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't have enough to start my own line, but, you know, Paul Baleen. But anyway.
Walk.
Yeah. All right. So what else, Preston, before I sidetrack us too far?
Well, definitely clean your gutters. I mean,
that's a big one.
A little bit early with that, but start getting a plan together. It won't be long. You know, the leaves will start coming. And if you get those gutters, downspouts full, you know, it's going to fill over into your soffit, fascia, rot that wood, all kinds of problems. I recommend getting a blower with attachments that, you know, you can buy the attachments that go up and kind of hook around, or you can blow it, you know, without having to get up. Getting up on your attic is dangerous. Getting up on your roof, is dangerous. I much prefer being able to do it from the ground if you can. Start thinking about it. It'll still be about a month, 2 months away, but time to start thinking about it.
I recommend paying somebody.
Make sure they have insurance.
Most of our listening audience is somewhere in my age range. It's time to let it go and pay somebody to do it. The last time I did it, I almost fell off the roof. I jammed my foot into the gutter to stop me from falling off the roof. And I had to have knee surgery because of how I ended up bracing myself on the roof. So $125 gutter cleaning chore turned into a knee surgery.
Wow. I'm with you. I pay somebody to do it, but here's the thing, Paul. I pay somebody to do mine, but then I go do my mom's. My mom lives way out in the country and in Randolph County, and I don't know anybody out there. So I go do her, and I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm cleaning my mom's gutters, and I'm paying somebody to do my own. But
Yeah, it's funny how we do that, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like that episode of Lucille Ball where she was cleaning somebody else's house so she could afford to pay somebody to clean her house.
Oh, I've done that. Okay. Not really. But what about your walkway?
Well, it's a good time. The walkway, just make sure that, you know, you don't have any cracks or elevation, you know, things higher or lower. And get a plan together if there's going to be ice or snow. And I'm going to say this one time.
Okay. You can say it twice if you want.
I do not like that salt stuff on concrete. It is terrible for concrete. So get yourself a plan together, a shovel or something. But I highly recommend if you have concrete driveway, and I don't know if you guys have salt sponsors, but when you go by that salt, when that water melts and that salt water gets down in the concrete, it makes it spall and crack up. The salt is terrible for concrete. And I've seen it so many times, you know, where you got a brick porch and you put salt on it. Yeah, it melts the snow, but then that salt water gets down in the mortar and just erodes the mortar. And half the time, those loose railings and loose bricks, I can almost track it back to that salt. So I don't want anybody to slip and fall, but have a plan if it does snow or ice. I know that's a long way off, but not as long as you think. Everything, if you think ahead, you know, shovel or some sort of plan, or, you know, if you know it's going to snow and you got a long driveway like me, park your car out on the streets the day before or something. But don't put salt on your concrete.
Salt, good on popcorn, bad on concrete.
Yeah,
drop the mic. Like boom. Okay.
Walker.
Yeah. What else, Preston? You got some things on here. Check your safety devices and even your fireplace.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll tell you what, though, Preston, I'm getting the signal. Let's pick this up at the next segment, the Show Your Real Estate Today. Preston Sandlin, Home Inspection Carolina. I'm Paul Jamison. We're going to give you some more tips. Hang with us. We'll be right back on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back. We're rocking in the studio on a happy Saturday. I'm Paul Jamison, your host of the show, Your Real Estate Today, here with my good friend Preston Sandlin with Home Inspection Carolina. Preston, if someone would like more information about your business, want to do a pre-inspection if they're thinking about selling their home, or want to do an inspection to see what kind of things they need to do before the weather changes, how do they get you?
They can reach me at our website, homeinspectioncarolina.com, or our phone number is 704-542-6575.
704-542-6575 or homeinspectioncarolina.com. I would say, Preston, you probably do, I don't know, what, about 125, 130 inspections for me a year at least, something like that, at a minimum. And then a lot of our clients continue to have Preston come. One thing before we jump into, and I wanted to make a point of this, with the low inventory right now, a lot of people are doing new construction. Just because you're doing new construction does not mean you don't need a home inspection.
Absolutely, absolutely. We find a lot of stuff on new construction, and especially like in a situation right now, Paul, where there's low inventory, they're trying to get these houses built, you know, kind of quick, and quality control sometimes may not be what, you know, and you need somebody there working for you. And that's what Paul's going to do. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I just did one with a home recently that we had built. Took about 6 months to from start to finish. And we had Preston come along the way. There were a couple of trusses that we wanted to make sure we got a good look at, and we ended up finding several different things that were... One of them I should have taken a picture of where the light switches were installed behind the door.
No.
Which was like someone had kicked in a door. All things that, you know, we'd been looking at the house over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and kind of got sensitized. That fresh set of eyes coming in from your inspector was awesome. We found out where the cabinets weren't in kilter. The hood was dented over the, you guys come in with a fresh look, you know, because we've been looking at that house for months, you know. It was great.
Paul, we had one, it was about 2 weeks ago, brand new house. Everything looked good. I mean, it looked good. It smelled good. Everything was, but we got to looking at it, Paul, and it was like, wait a minute, the load bearing, there was no piers. Where it was supposed to bear weight didn't line up to where the piers. Come to find out what had happened, they had changed the model. They had a different foundation. They had a different foundation than the one for that model. So they had to go back in and get engineers and put a whole bunch of new piers because it was the wrong foundation for that house. You understand what I'm saying?
They changed
the model, and they had the foundation for a different model. Ooh. So that happens.
Wow. Hmm.
It was fixable.
Yeah, but think about that long term.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good stuff. All right, so, Preston, let's talk about some of those maintenance tips. Before the break, we were talking about the fireplace and some of the winter safety things. Tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the fall, you know, is a good time, good time to do a lot of maintenance. We talked in the other segment about cleaning the gutters and, being ready for the ice and looking for squirrels and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's a good time to change all the batteries on your smoke detector and carbon monoxide detector. And it is law to have a carbon monoxide detector if you have any gas-burning appliance or an attached garage. You need a carbon monoxide detector.
That's right.
And don't do like me and just wait till the one starts beeping and replace that one. Because once one starts beeping, they're all going to go. And sometimes you can't figure out which one it is. And then you get to a situation where you're like, which ones have I replaced? And I told my wife, I was like, you know what? You just need to replace them all at the same time.
Yes, but what you didn't mention, Preston, you did not mention, and I'm surprised you didn't mention it. I'm totally disappointed. I just need you to know, is when the batteries go on a smoke detector, it's at 2 a.m. in the morning when you're sound asleep. Always.
Always 2 in the morning.
It's 2 a.m. They know it, too.
Exactly.
They know it. Look, TJ's laughing at me, too. It is the truth.
Yeah.
And if you have rental property, and you're managing it yourself, that's when the tenant's going to call you.
2 in the morning, yeah. Well, and for everybody listening, you probably know this, but just in case you don't, if it starts chirping, that means the battery's low. And just go ahead and replace them all because that chirping starts increasing, too. I don't know if you noticed that. Like, it'll chirp, and it'll be once in a little while, and you kind of like it, and then it gets a little bit more to the point it's like driving you crazy. Just replace them all. Trust me.
Just get up, let the dog out, and replace it.
Exactly. You know?
That's it.
And
that's
change your filters while you're at it. Go ahead and change your air.
2 a.m., just do it all. Just do all the tips, everything, while you're at it. Grease your windows, and the squeaky doors, and clean your disposal. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And another good thing to do in the fall, Paul, is irrigation. Now I want you to run your irrigation because you're probably going to need to seed your lawn. You want to seed your lawn in September, October, but by November you want to cut that irrigation off and you want to drain it so that it doesn't freeze. But you probably want to keep running it. Make sure, probably in September, October, you want to aerate and seed.
Yep. What about, leaving your hose connected to the hose bibs and all that kind of stuff and some of the outdoor lawn furniture and all that kind of stuff, rakes?
Absolutely. You definitely want to disconnect the hoses and drain them because if water's in there, you know, it's going to freeze, and it can freeze and back up. You could also cause backflow contamination. I recommend disconnecting hoses if you're not using them. Now, I know a lot of people leave them on, but you don't want water logged in that thing all the way for a couple of reasons, and especially in the winter that it might freeze. Also, you want to make sure that on your hose bibs you have backflow preventers to keep that from flowing back the other way and pulling in fertilizer or something that could contaminate potable water. You just don't want that.
Do those little covers for the hose bibs, do those things actually work?
Yeah, they're okay. I know what you're talking about, the little styrofoam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're okay. Of course, now I say this, and this will be the one in 100-year winter. It is 2020. But typically in our area, if it's a hose bib off the house, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, the house you're living in, you'll probably be all right. I mean, what I'm getting at is it just doesn't get that cold in our area. Now, this is not true for up in the Northeast and the Midwest and all that. I like them. I don't know if they're necessary here. Definitely, if you have a bib out by a well or something like that, all bets are off because that thing's completely exposed. But you got to realize that if you're in a, you know, a house that you're living in, I mean, and you're heating and cooling, you know, it's coming through that crawl space. You know, it's definitely above 32 in there.
Yeah. What we did for our well when we had one was we had a, you know, an insulated cover, and we had a light bulb
in yeah.
there to keep that. It put out just enough heat to keep that whole series from freezing.
Yeah, I can remember living out on my grandma's farm, and the house wasn't real insulated. And it'd be real cold. When it got below freezing, we would turn it on to let it drip inside the house and outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have a, you know, a constant drip. But, you know, her house was built in 1903 and was up on piers and, mm-hmm. you know, had old dogs under it. And yeah. wasn't built by today's. I'm sure some permits were not pulled for that house.
Yeah. Well, just before we go, Preston. Again, if people are interested in finding more about you, and your website had some great tips on it, how do they get to that information?
Absolutely. HomeInspectionCarolina.com, and they can find all that stuff about building permits on there and the checklist as well, and links to check your building permit. And if you'd like to call us, it's 704-542-6575.
All right. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, if you're thinking about buying or selling real estate, or you're interested in investing in real estate, certainly pick up a copy of my book, Opportunity is Knocking. You can get it at pauljamison.com or Amazon Prime. Make sure you do Prime for it, because there's other people selling my book for more money than they should. Opportunity is Knocking. But you can always reach us 846-DONE, 846-3663. You want to get it done, we're there for you. Realty Property Management, Property Investment. Thank you, Preston.
Thank you, brother.
Have a great Saturday. Take care, all. God bless. We'll talk to you next week to Show Your Real Estate Today here on News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Nisick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.